Hello, everyone. This is Erica Spicer Mason with Becker's Healthcare. Thank you so much for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare podcast series. Today, I'm joined by the CEO of Ituity, Dr. Mu Tomlinson. In his role at the helm of a physician-owned multi-specialty partnership, Dr. Tomlinson is known for his unwavering commitment to healthcare equity, diversity in the workforce, and patient-centric healthcare innovations. So, in today's conversation with Dr. Tomlinson, we'll focus on why having an infinite mindset in healthcare leads to lasting impact on patients and clinical teams' well-being and helps the industry refocus on what truly matters, which is improving lives. Dr. Tomlinson, always a pleasure to have you join Becker's. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're thrilled to have you, and I'm excited to dig in and explore this concept of an infinite mindset a little bit more. So, I know you've recently written about this concept of an infinite mindset in healthcare. Can you elaborate on how it compares to the kind of more prevalent short-term thinking in healthcare and why it's crucial for the future of the industry to adopt this infinite mindset?
Absolutely. I don't want to take total credit for it. Obviously, this has been popularized by Simon Sinek, my friend, and he has really highlighted, the concept of playing an infinite game versus playing a finite game. So at some level, I thought that this was definitely applicable to healthcare. And if you kind of think of how to describe an infinite game in healthcare, what does that look like? How do you play the healthcare game forever? Really, you have to look back at what patient care is, right? And if you think of the patient care continuum, from birth to all the way up to later in life, those decisions we make, those goals we set for us as individuals, those healthy goals, those healthcare goals, none of them is fixed, right? You don't stop being healthy. You don't choose to lose weight to a certain number, then stop being healthy, right? You continue on, and you always are getting better and always thinking about the long term. So I think healthcare is in that moment right now. There's a lot of finite thinking, a lot of short-termism, so to speak. And I think, really going back to what's the best thing for the long term for patients today, but also patients tomorrow. I think in, by proxy, what's good for healthcare today and tomorrow is really the key.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for explaining that a bit more, Dr. Tomlinson. And I'm sure it's not easy for leaders to adopt that mindset, just given all of the day-to-day challenges that come up. I know balancing that and the long-term mindset must be a challenge in many ways, but necessary to your point. And I know that just kind of as an you said yourself, or I guess I mentioned in the introduction how you are definitely a passionate leader who cares a lot about patient centricity, promoting health equity. So I know that you also believe that healthcare should be measured in terms of lives improved rather than financial metrics. So what would be the first step for an organization to adopt this approach?
Well, I think the first step is the first step, right? It's to commit. It's to change the paradigm, paradigm shift, if you will, to really commit to living that life, that long-term life, that infinite-mindedness. So we cheated a little bit. We were founded. Obviously, I didn't found the partnership, but we were founded in a way where a lot of our structure is based on lasting forever. And so that was really the task. My task as CEO and my team's task is to really make sure that we call them Vitans, those people that are in the partnership, that what we do benefits patients, but also benefits Vitans today and tomorrow. So we're really focused on that. So I think as a first step, it's really committing to that mindset. And I can think of one thing in particular that I'm actually really proud of, and it's the way that we partner with health systems. And we partner with a lot of different health systems, but our relationships with them are really about what can we do in long term in those communities. There's a lot of short-termism, there's a lot of contractual details, a lot of nickel and diming, if you will. But at the end of the day, if you know that you're in a long-term relationship with somebody, those little small finite details are less important.
Yeah, really like that metaphor about long-term relationships. It's absolutely true. And so taking this a little bit further, talking about long-term impact over short-term profit, advocating for that concept can be challenging, especially in an industry where there are a lot of financial headwinds and capacity issues and day-to-day challenges. So what advice would you give to healthcare leaders who are trying to persuade perhaps board members or shareholders to really embrace that long-term view and that long-term perspective?
Absolutely. I actually hope my board is listening. You want to give people long-term jobs. So no, seriously, I think, you know, a lot of the short-termism truly has to do with the structure of our roles. I mean, you can think of in health systems and frankly, in a lot of corporate America, the turnover of the leadership teams, the turnover of the executive leader really make it difficult to think past quarter to quarter or year to year. So I would say that, you know, for those executives that are out there, you convince your boards, convince your teams to really focus on that long term. And then obviously you need goals. Let's not, you know, thinking long term doesn't mean you don't have any goals. What it means though is that those small incremental steps should put you on a trajectory that is beneficial to the organization for the long term. And so I think, you know, my mindset, even, you know, hopefully I don't, but even if I get fired tomorrow, the decisions that I make today will have to be the best thing, you know, for our partnership for the long term, and even beyond that, for healthcare in the long term.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, Dr. Tomlinson. I love what you said about the small incremental steps, putting you on a good trajectory. That rings so true. You're talking to a former health educator, and those small steps were always the number one thing in behavior change that tend to see results. So I really appreciate that piece of advice. And I wanted to kind of shift our conversation here to talk a little bit about the workforce as well. It's hard to have a conversation about healthcare nowadays and not address the workforce. And I think it is important in this context. So we're seeing alarming projections about nurse shortages and provider burnout, even in this kind of post-pandemic world. So what strategies do you think healthcare organizations should adopt to ensure the well-being and retention of their clinical staff? What's your take?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? The pandemic, this, we're still reeling from the pandemic in respect to just the sheer cognitive, emotional, and professional burnout from really not just our healthcare workers, so to speak, but everybody that's involved in healthcare. They've been working really hard for a long time and they're tired. I think though we have a little bit of accountability when I say that, our healthcare leaders have an accountability for that burnout in some small ways. And I'll explain it with an example, if that's okay. We recently had an individual who was really one of the best candidate, if not the best candidate for a role. We have sort of roles, layers of physician leadership. And she was an amazing leader, a little bit newer to the leadership realm, but had all the qualities that would make her successful. And we offered her the job and said, hey, this is the match made in heaven, and you are the right person for the job. She thought about it a little bit and she actually declined the job. And we were amazed, like, wait, what do you mean? Like, this is right in your wheelhouse. This is who you are as an individual. And she said that she didn't want to do the job, not because she didn't love the partnership or not because she didn't love what she was doing or what the new job would be. She said she wanted to be a mom. And that is a failing, you know, at least that mindset, I think, is a failing of healthcare. We create jobs, we create these structures, these caricatures of what jobs should be based on what work we think needs to get done. But if we actually framed it around the individuals that need to do the work and restructured jobs so that being a mom shouldn't be a reason you don't take a job, it absolutely should be a reason why you're even better suited for a job, right? And so that's where I think what we can do in healthcare is, especially with this burnout, is reframe those positions to focus in on what people love to do. The second part of it, I think, is really going back to basics, which is that why, that inspiration. Almost everybody that went into healthcare chose it because they wanted to improve the lives of people. They wanted to be there at their worst moments to help them through that. And I think in all of the sort of calculations and all of the different things that we have to do to make sure the lights stay on, we forget to let people know that. And so really going back to the reasons why people are here, inspire them to be greater than they ever thought they could be on their own. I think those two things will be key to avoiding the burnout of the future.
Yeah, back to basics. I love how you put that and really appreciate that example about the prospective job candidate who, turned down the job because of wanting to be a mom. That's such a powerful example and one that I've heard all too frequently in my own friend circle and other women I know. So, a lot to consider there. So, thank you so much for sharing that. And finally, I want to make sure that we also kind of touch a bit on what Vituity is doing. So I know a big focus for Vituity is extending care beyond hospital walls and really driving innovation there. So can you share any insights on how healthcare systems can effectively reach and impact their communities, especially when we're talking about addressing healthcare inequities?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been known for my tantrums, and a little maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a tantrum within Vituity in respect to the care we provide for people. And you think about how much red tape, if you will, and complexity there is around for providing care, right? You got to see the patient, make sure you see them quickly, make sure you bill appropriately, got to deal with payers, et cetera, et cetera. So we developed a foundation where we just go out in communities, and mostly the unhoused communities, but also youth and other communities that are typically have challenges with access. We set up a clinic, if you will, or we call them healthcare for all clinics, and we just see people. We write their names down. We take care of them, and then we plug them into the system. We connect them with community resources. But if we give them haircuts, we feed them, if they're hungry, and we also give them prescriptions to tide them over until they can get back into the community. And we don't charge anything. We don't bill Medicaid or Medicare or any of the commercial payers. We just see them. And so if you think about how to get beyond the hospital walls, that's just one example of just going out there and getting it done. We know that part of healthcare's challenge and the cost is using the most expensive means to manage maybe things that can be taken care of in different ways. And I think that just doing it as a first step, a la Vituity Cares, but there are other ways that we can get outside the community. The other thing I would say is that when you look at how to get to patients in their homes, or how do you get to patients at work or at the gym, really the main issue behind that is that we sometimes structure, similar to what we do for our healthcare workers, we structure that opportunity based on what we need. And I think we need to go back to the old world, if you will, when you just had a family doc going to people's houses. We have to meet patients where they are and on their terms. So I think that that's really the best way for us to get outside the hospital. Lastly, I just say that there is a weird dynamic that we saw post-pandemic with a lot of dollars coming in from, Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, different people trying to help and really refine and bring efficiencies to healthcare. And what we've seen is that really hasn't worked. And part of the reason is that if you look at these communities, right, if you think instead of just the hospital, think of the hospital community that surrounds that hospital system. As long as dollars are leaving that community to either pay Wall Street or pay other sort of investors that want to make profit off of that, those encounters, I think we're going to find it harder and harder to get to those individuals outside the hospital. So really leaving those dollars in those communities, investing in them, but doing it in a way that's not just so focused on financial return.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Tomlinson. Your focus and passion for community-based work is coming through so strongly. I really appreciate all of those examples and sharing a little bit more about what Vituity is doing in the community. Love the example about, not just ensuring folks are getting access to healthcare, but also other, kind of self-care things that folks need to also be considered healthy, like of course, having access to food and even haircuts, things of that nature. really great examples. And I think you've given our listeners a lot to think about in terms of bringing things back to the community. So thank you again for the time and the insights today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I just want to leave you with one thought, leave the listeners with one thought. I think, you know, focusing on what inspires you, focusing on what your cause is every day is super important. And once you make that decision, you know, a phrase I like to use is commit to building rather than building things. So you have to commit, right? And so if you commit first, the building gets so much easier.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Dr. Tomlinson. Really appreciate you being back with Becker's today. And we also want to thank our podcast sponsor for this episode, Vituity. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com.